Welcome to City Talks, a monthly podcast looking at the big issues facing UK cities and the latest thinking on urban policy. I'm your host, Andrew Carter, from the think tank Centre for Cities. I hope you enjoy the episode. Welcome to City Minutes. I'm Andrew Carter, and today I'm joined by my colleagues, Eleanor Magrini and Tom Sells. And the topic today is our latest research called An Uneven Recovery, How COVID Debt and Savings Will Shape Post-Pandemic Cities. This research has been kindly sponsored by Clarion Housing. So let's dive straight in. Eleanor, give us a sense as to why we're looking at these issues now.
The vaccine rollout continues and restrictions are being lifted. People have started to think about the economic recovery. Many believe this is likely to be a quick recovery because the pandemic and the restrictions put in place to fight it, such as the closure of pubs and restaurants, working from home, have meant that people have been saving throughout the pandemic, and these savings could now be used to restart the economy. The thing is that while this is true, not everyone has had the same experience during the pandemic. Some other people instead have seen a drop in income because of it. And from our previous research, we also know that different places have been affected in different ways. So all these things are likely to play a role in the picture. And what we wanted to do with this research was to dig deeper behind this headline and try to understand how COVID savings and debt played out in different parts of the country and what this means for the recovery.
So we're looking at how it affects people and households and neighborhoods, and we're also looking at how it affects cities and large towns. So two different scales. So Tom, starting with you, just give us a sense as to what the impact has been at the sort of neighborhood or at the person level.
So as Eleanor has said, some people have been able to put away money in COVID savings, but this really hasn't been the case everywhere. So different people have experienced the pandemic very differently. And there are two things that need to be considered together. So the first is how much money people have coming in, so from their incomes. And the second is how much money people have going out, so in spending. And on the one hand, you've got some people who've seen no change to the amount of money coming in, so they're working from home, so absolutely fine. And at the same time, they're able to save money on things such as transport. And this means that this group have been able to save throughout the pandemic. And our research has shown that people who fall into this group are more likely to live in richer neighborhoods, and that's across the country. And on the other hand, you've got other people who've seen the amount of money coming in cut down. So they've been put on furlough or they've lost their jobs while their spending has remained largely unchanged. And people who fall into this category are more likely to be pushed into debt as a result of the pandemic. And again, from our research, we found that these people are more likely to be those who live in poorer neighborhoods. And again, this is across the country, people living in poorer neighborhoods. And this is even more of a problem because people living in these areas were already more likely to be in a more precarious financial position going into the pandemic. So they already had high levels of debt. So on one side, you've got people living in poorer neighborhoods in all cities across the country being more likely to push into debt. And on the other side, you've got people living in richer neighborhoods everywhere being more likely to have amassed savings.
So if this has affected people everywhere in all parts of the country, Eleanor, just talk a little bit more about the implications for places as we move out of the pandemic and into the recovery phase. How will this play out?
Yes, as Tom said, it is really important to stress that there are pandemic winners and losers everywhere in the country, and they often live side by side. But the thing is, because there are on average more affluent neighborhoods in urban areas in the south of England, COVID savings overall are more likely to be skewed towards these parts of the country. And just to give you a sense of the scale of it, the number of neighborhoods in which we estimate people have been able to save throughout the pandemic is three times larger in places like Exeter and Aldershot than it is in Hull and Blackpool. And this really matters because it has an impact on the bounce back. If there is a COVID savings-led bounce back, this is more likely to happen in cities and large towns in the south of England, and hence help the people who have struggled financially because of the pandemic in these parts of the country to bounce back. People go out and they spend their savings. This will fuel consumption and create new job opportunities. And that is great. But that cannot be said for urban areas farther north. Fewer people in these areas have been saving throughout the pandemic. While instead, we estimated that the number of people who have instead been struggling financially throughout the pandemic is much larger there. And this in turn suggests that firstly, there is less to bounce back to. People haven't cut their spending much, therefore there's not much saved that can be used now to channel the recovery, and therefore fewer jobs will be created. And second, instead, these places now have an additional debt challenge that is on top of their pre-existing pre-pandemic financial struggles.
So the worry there is that some of the trends and the patterns, the inequalities that we saw before the pandemic will have been made worse during the pandemic and are likely to continue, if not worsen, as we come out of the pandemic as well. So Tom, coming back to you, as we hopefully come out of the pandemic and the economy opens up and restrictions are removed, what is it that we want government to be doing? What needs to change?
Yeah, so I think the important thing to know from this research is just to kind of get underneath the headline figures and see that it hasn't been a massive windfall for everybody. And many people up and down the country, particularly as Eleanor said, in the North and Midlands, are instead likely to have been negatively affected financially by the pandemic. And this is going to have implications for how quickly and to what degree the COVID bounce back will likely come about in different places. And a few factors so far have cushioned the financial impact of COVID. These include the government support initiatives, family networks, as well as delays in the court system. But many of these are actually soon or have already drawn to a close. So carefully timing when and how current support is removed and which new measures be reintroduced needs to be kind of carefully considered. And we've split our recommendations into four areas. So firstly, you need to support people with their immediate spending needs. So this means extending the free school meal program over the school holidays and extending other supports such as mortgage and payment holidays for at least as long as the end of the year to help people up until the point when the economy starts to stabilize. Secondly, it's supporting people with the debt that they've already taken on. So this could be debt relief programs or ramping up the capabilities of debt advice services, for example. Thirdly, it's going to be about protecting incomes. So the main thing that should be done here is at the very least to make the £20 uplift to universal credit permanent. This would help people in the immediate short term, but over the longer term, government also needs to review its social security system and bring it in line with other European welfare states. On top of this, support for certain sectors. So we know aviation has been especially hard hit. So they're going to take a lot longer to get back to normal. So support for certain sectors such as those should be extended for as long as it's needed. And fourthly, is levelling up for the long term. And what this means is dealing with the underlying issues that have meant that some places went into the crisis already in a more precarious financial position than others because of their weaker economies. So this will include creating jobs for those who work in hospitality and leisure, so getting people back into the city centres. In the slightly longer term, this should also include providing free training for those who need it to create better job opportunities and also attracting in high-value businesses, so into places that are kind of generally underperforming, so large towns and cities in the North and the Midlands.
Excellent. Thank you very much indeed to both Tom and to Eleanor. You can read the full report on our website, centrefocities.org. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to this episode of City Talks, brought to you by Centre for Cities. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher by searching Centre for Cities. Please rate, review and subscribe if you liked what you heard. You can also follow the Centre on Twitter at Centre for Cities, or like us on LinkedIn for the latest updates on what the centre is up to. If you have any comments on the episode or suggestions for topics we should cover in the future, we'd love to hear from you. Do tweet us or send an email to info@centreforcities.org. The music was from Palace Fires by Johnny Foreigner, used with permission, and all rights are reserved.